W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police. It's me, Mike Graham, and it's him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Kevin, welcome into our brand new studio, which we've now acquired for the podcast purposes.
There's no expense spent on this podcast.
No expense spent, exactly right. Very well said. Now, I mean, apart from anything else, I've got big news for you today, because I had Matt Kelly on the show.
I heard.
And he's a changed man. You know, he used to be that guy who was really angry about Remain versus Leave, the guy who used to, you know, really have a go at people for being Brexiteers. And he seems to have had some kind of road to Damascus type conversion, has he?
Yeah, and I think that's because he's producing a newspaper, which he's now invested in. That's his sole source of income, and he wants to make it a bit more appealing to a few more people, because at the moment, it's just a straggle, a handful of manic Remainers like AC.
Although he's
Grayling.
Making money from it, though, and you've always called it a failed project because they didn't actually get what they wanted. But maybe he's right.
To be fair to me, Mike, it's a little bit more nuanced than this. I think that the New European has always been a newspaper that bizarrely prospers on its own failure. It thrives on its failure.
Yes.
It has failed in its entire project. And ironically, in this echo chamber media world that we now live in, now that we've left Brexit, or we left Europe, and Brexit is achieved, and the New European is entirely fucked, it will never do better. It will now go into the universe. It will do very, very well, I suspect, now, because these fucking idiots like AC Grayling just want to... AC Growling.
Growling. That's a bit of a weird name for him.
AC Grayling just want to sit around moaning about how terrible it is that we've left Europe, and they'll do that forever.
Yes.
And in that respect, these idiots that just want to massage their own fucked egos will carry on buying and writing for this paper.
Well, true. But I mean, I quite admire what he's doing, because what he is doing is he's doing, as he explained to me, you know, and you've often said this as well, give people what they want and they'll buy it.
Yeah.
And if the people that he's selling to want to hear about how great Europe is, then that's what he's going to give them. But by the same token, he also said, and I don't know how true this will end up being, that he's also going to be having a go at the EU. Because to be fair to him, he did say their vaccine policy was completely and utterly hopeless.
Yeah.
But I don't think
there's not much else you could say.
Well, no, but a couple of years ago, I think he would have been a lot more strong,
federalist.
I would say. He'd have been a lot more federalist. But I think, you know, the game's up for a lot of these guys, because if you are sensible, you cannot stand by the EU, because they are fucking useless. There's no question about it. And they've proved themselves not only, as you said last week, to be fucking useless, but to be imbecilic, to be incapable
and
of
nasty,
change.
And
horrible
nasty,
into the bargain. Nasty, yeah. And incompetent, and a mixture of incompetence and nastiness is never good.
Yeah, no, I used to write, I've written a few pieces for the New York.
Yeah, you said.
But the...
doing that for?
Money.
Because I said to him,
never principles.
Because I said to him, why don't you give me a column at one point? And I said, I'll be your token Brexiteer.
Yeah,
you know,
it'd
be good. People would like it. And he went, I could be the acceptable face. He said, well, we haven't got very much money.
Yeah, well, you'll never be the acceptable face, mate.
No, that's true.
No, but he did actually use Aaron Banks as a columnist for a while.
Mm.
And I know I was there when Rod Little pitched to Matt an idea that he should write a spread about the case for Brexit.
Yeah.
And Matt was all for it. And Rod said, I'll do it for nothing, just to be an interesting project.
Right.
And in the end, Matt railed back from it because he's producing an echo chamber. It's about a load of people who are desperate to remain, didn't get to remain, and want to bang on about it for fucking ever.
But he said, again, this time around, that he's not going to be banging on about getting back into the EU. He's not accepting that. He doesn't think rejoining is the answer.
Yeah.
So I thought what was interesting as well when he said, look, I got off Twitter. I'm a much happier person. He looks a lot happier.
Yeah. Because older with that fucking grey beard.
Well, listen.
It's like a pirate.
That's what happens when you've been locked down for so
either
many...
Either dye it, Matt, or shave it off. It's put 10 years
Well,
on
you know,
it.
He's just going for the Grizzly Adams look. It's all fine. I mean, I'm talking of which, by the way. Talking of which, I'm actually now toying with the idea of possibly getting somebody to cut my hair in the house. You know, the mother of my children has offered. I'm not sure she's any good at it, is the only problem.
Why don't you get art kid? He's got an eye for
He has,
detail.
Actually. Yeah, how about that?
That's
I mean, that went very
idea.
Well, didn't it?
Yeah.
He's done about 6 paintings and drawings since...
He's a
the first
star.
One, right?
You can turn him into a
well,
pro.
Listen, he's going to make money for sure.
He's got talent. You could see that. That's why I was so furious, along with so many other people, about that awful teacher that slapped him down.
I know.
What a fucking thing for a teacher
know.
To do.
I know, because if it hadn't gone the way it has gone, he could have been put off art for ages. My other son, funnily enough, was put off music because you know, here's the thing that they do in schools. They're only really not really interested in the kids. They're interested in the results that they get, right?
Yeah.
Because they get judged by Ofsted. Yeah, yeah. Depending on how many grade A's they get, whatever the fuck it is, right?
Yeah.
So they said about my older one, oh, he's not really, it's not, music's not really for him. And he was really disappointed. And I didn't get involved in that at the time. Yeah. And I think I should have done because he really liked, you know, playing music, reading music. But he was more or less told, well, you're probably not going to pass with a very good grade, so you might as well give it up. That's fucking horrendous.
Well, they're lucky to have you as a dad, Mike. I say that reservedly, but
in some ways.
What they will learn is in life, and I'm sure you'll tell them that, if people don't like you, tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Well, unfortunately, he's already got that kind of trait.
Yeah, I'll bet you he has.
He has. And,
I'll bet you he's going to the school now and saying to that teacher, fuck you.
Well, I mean, it has to be said, he has on occasion, when they were in school, he would have, but he's a bit like I was. You'd have certain teachers that you got along with, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But the ones you didn't get along with, you were always having a problem with them.
Yeah.
You know, and he's getting detentions here, there, and everywhere because he talks back to them.
Tell him when they get back into school, tell him to go in and say to that fucking art teacher, hey, teach, think I'll copy a couple of Rembrandts today.
Right.
What do you reckon?
Right. Well, I mean, one,
you
of
fucker.
The ones, one of the times he got into trouble was when he was spotted not wearing a mask, and one of them said, put your mask on, and he went, why? They don't work.
He really is a chip off the old block.
Very funny. And I mean, even if he didn't agree with what he was saying,
funny.
I just quite like the idea of it, you know.
Yeah.
But listen, talking
mask,
about the way people look, what about this, right? Matt Hancock today apparently was the subject of a massive debate.
Yeah.
On a mass debate, you might call it, on fucking Mumsnet, which has to be probably the worst website of all time. If you ever want to find a bunch of whinging people talking about middle-class, first-world problems.
Yeah.
But...
And if you're not a woman who's had a baby, you're no one.
Yeah, you're no one. Yeah, you can't go on there
you
unless you've got
about
children.
Life because you've never had a child.
You've never had a child.
Yeah.
And so apparently they were all discussing how or whether... Matt Hancock was, in their words, gorgeous. I mean, fucking
well,
hell.
Well, I think I can answer that question. No, he's fucking not. He's a fucking gargoyle, you idiots.
He doesn't even look really very manly to me. I mean, I don't wish to completely and utterly prescribe Matt
Hancock. Manly, he doesn't look
manly.
But
he doesn't look particularly manly to me. Yeah. He looks like a guy who's never really grown up.
I'll tell you, I could take him with one hand behind my back. Easy, no
I'm sure
problem.
You could. I'm sure you could.
No, he does look like a wanker, frankly, and he's not gorgeous.
It's not, you know.
I mean, I'm not saying he is a wanker, he just looks like
just
one.
Looks like one. Well, meanwhile,
and he behaves like one as well.
People were taking issue with us once before because we took the piss out of the way Chris Whitty looked. Right?
Yeah.
Apparently last year, they were discussing whether he was good looking.
Well, I've always said in life, you should not criticise or insult people about things that they can do anything about. Pick on their looks.
Yes.
They can't do anything about that, so fucking have them for it.
Absolutely extraordinary. The reason I was thinking about this was because I saw that you tweeted out about Fulham's manager apparently being voted best looking manager of all time or something.
Yeah, Scott Parker has been voted.
I mean, I suppose he has a certain chiselled look about him.
Well, yeah, he has been voted in a poll as the best looking manager in the Premiership for now.
Right. Better looking than Jose Mourinho?
No, because I don't suppose we'll be in the Premiership for all that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Our season is going. you know, and as I tweeted, you know, who says Fulham never win anything?
Yeah.
You know, we fucking won something.
Absolutely.
Best looking manager. But I do agree.
But surely,
with...
what about Jose Mourinho? Well, isn't he thought to be everybody's favourite?
Well, some woman tweeted, I'm a bit weird. I fancy Jose Mourinho. I said, well, no, you're not. Loads of women fancy Jose, including my wife. Jurgen Klopp's good looking guy. So, you know, I think Scott was fairly lucky to win it, but he is a good looking guy.
Well, I mean, who was the
great dresser?
What was the sort of yardstick for this then? I mean, who did they ask?
Well, your yardstick was that you weren't Steve Bruce. Somebody said on Twitter, what about Steve Bruce? I'm not having this.
Do you know, this is where we've lost our sense of humour in this country, because in the old days, it would be more like, who's the worst looking manager in the Premier League, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Sam Allardyce.
We'll be able to do that now.
Sam Allardyce.
Right.
Do you know, the ugliest football team ever was that Ipswich team that won the league back in the late 70s, early 80s?
Well, not the one Alan Brazil was playing for.
Kevin Beattie.
Kevin Beattie, that was the Alan Brazil team.
Fucking
wasn't it?
Hell, they were ugly.
But
they
I mean, you should listen to Brazil talk about those times, you know, where, you know, they
Newcastle
they went to...
are really ugly.
Well, do you remember Peter Beardsley?
Yeah, he was hideous. Clearly, ugly Steve Bruce is making an ugly team in his own image.
Yes.
It's just fucking hideous.
Yeah, but
them.
I mean, footballers, I mean, defenders certainly should always be ugly, shouldn't they?
Well, I don't know whether they should be, but they certainly always are.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get...
Why are the attackers always the good lookers?
Well, because they're the ones with the flair. They're the ones with the talent. They're the ones with the goal-scoring potential.
Well, that doesn't necessarily lead on, does it?
Yeah, but it's like...
To be a talented footballer, you have to be good fucking looking.
No, but I mean, it comes back to that, you know, when European players started coming to this country and they were so much more kind of suave and debonair and they spoke really good English.
Better than our players.
And then suddenly they'd get a few studs down the front of the shin from some bloke from Port Vale in the cup.
And they become uglier.
And then suddenly they'd go, fuck this for a laugh. We'll go back to Sampdoria.
Go back to Real Madrid.
You know. But it is funny how football has changed. I mean, you and I talk about it quite a bit. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day because the rugby was on last weekend. And actually, I found myself quite indulged in watching it because it's somehow Six Nations rugby doesn't really suffer too much from not having a crowd. I know you'll probably say that's different, but football seems to really suffer from it. And I think it's partly because players play up to the crowd so much.
Last Saturday, was it? Every single Premiership game, six of them I think it was, every away team won.
Right.
Not a single home win in the Premier League, which proves the crowd makes all the difference.
Of course it does.
It's not the ground.
No.
It's the crowd.
Yeah. But also, so much of what footballers do is to kind of wind the crowd up.
Yeah.
That without the crowd and without those kind of antics, there's not much to watch.
I'll tell you what we're all looking forward to in football is Liverpool. When will Liverpool win at home? I mean, they just can't fucking win at Anfield.
Well, I did say, I was talking to a mate of mine the other day who's a Liverpool fan, not Matt Kelly. I said, is this going to be the shortest run of success ever? Because, I mean, they have had some great success.
It's Man City this year, isn't it?
But it doesn't look like they're going to keep it going, does it?
It's Man City. Yeah, it's interesting.
The test for Liverpool will be whether they keep Klopp.
Well, they'll have to keep him because he's good looking.
Yeah, well, you say he's good looking, but I'm not quite sure which
glasses. A lot of women do fancy him.
Women fancy him, but women fancy a lot of blokes who are not good looking.
Yeah, Julia Hartley-Brewer is always going on about her husband looking like...
He does, actually. He
does.
There is a certain similarity there.
Yeah.
I must admit, I was a bit alarmed this morning.
Maybe she is married to Jurgen Klopp.
Maybe so.
Fuck me.
Christ
if
almighty.
So, she's in Stuck.
She wouldn't be getting up that early in the morning, surely, if she was. But talking of that, let's talk about the latest Hancockian nonsense which came out today, literally less than an hour ago, where he's now threatening to put you in prison, no less, for 10 years, right? Now, I haven't looked this up, but I'm pretty sure you have to commit a pretty heinous crime to go to prison for 10 years in this country. This is if you fill out a form with lies in it. So when you come back from wherever you've been abroad, you fill out your locator form, which I think is what tells people where you're going to be or where you've been. If there's any lies on it, 10 years in jail.
I'll tell you what, Matt...
Where the fuck do they get this from?
Well, Matt Hancock is lucky that he's gorgeous because it deflects from how fucking useless he is. I mean, this is ridiculous. This fucking coronavirus crisis, come on, government. Accept it's petering out.
Yeah.
We're on the way out. Stop trying to make it like the centre of everything and stop trying to... ban us from getting back to fucking normal.
Yeah.
People have had enough of this.
Well, I'll tell you what.
All the figures, death rates, hospital admissions, number of cases, plummeting.
Right.
What glimmer of hope do we get from this government? Sweet fuck all.
I know. And last week, of course, they were saying, well, yes, it's really good that the infection rates are dipping and it's really good that the hospitalisations are going down, but we really have to wait until the death rates start to go down, which is what they're now
doing. Fucking plummeting. Right?
I was looking at one particular part of southeast England, and one, you know how they break it all up into quite small areas. This one area had 1,200 cases last week. Now it's got 100. Right, so that's a reduction of over 90%.
Yeah.
Right, and yet nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Well, how does that work?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why it works is because all those sage twats, they love being on telly.
Yeah.
If they call off the coronavirus crisis, they won't be in the briefing sessions. They won't be on the box every night. That bloody Van Tam guy loves being on the telly.
Oh,
doesn't
did
he?
You see him
with his colourful suits
and he's
and
got
his
this
attractive
kind of, and also he's got this kind of quirky way of speaking. Like
twat.
He said, I can't remember what he actually called it, but he said,
sick
you know, the South African variant, or you know, V125, as we call it in the trade.
Of course, he's called JVT. They love an acronym, those
I mean, there's nothing like a bunch of fucking geeks, is there, to go around saying, aren't we clever? This is funny. Well, I'll tell you what, mate, it's not funny, and neither are you. Fuck off.
Yeah, why don't you all fuck off? Leave us alone. Let's get back to normal. I'll tell you what...
Would you mind actually just leaving the country to be run by the people that we fucking elected?
Do you want to know something? I'm indebted to Rod Liddell for pointing this out.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right.
That's two mentions.
So they said they've always said there was no choice but to lock down. We've had to lock down. We've locked down three, four, maybe the fourth time we'll lock down. We had to lock down. Well, before new technology, before computers, before mobile phones, whatever was happening to the population, if we were dying in our hundreds of thousands, they would not have been able to lock down. The only reason that this government and governments around the world were able to lock down is because of computers and new technology. In other words, commerce and the economy.
What do you mean? Because people could work from home.
Could stagger on by working from home. So before computers, we could not have done it. Funnily enough, we were chucked into this situation by new technology because it allowed lockdowns, and funnily enough it's our way out as well, because without mobile phones and computers this vaccine rollout could not happen.
That's very true. But isn't it interesting as well, though, that we've got to this point where we're now accepting of two things. One, that more than 100,000 people have died of COVID, which I'm still not convinced is a true figure, only because I think, you know, it's too broad-ranging,
wide-ranging. For example, Mike.
I know at least four people.
Did Captain Tom die of COVID or not?
No, he didn't.
But yet it
He was 100 years old and he had pneumonia.
But had tested positive for.
Well, not until he went into hospital.
Which is a crystallisation of the story you get every single time.
I mean, I know at least three people, two of whom I've been told about, one of whom I personally knew, who went into hospital in their 80s, did not have COVID when they went in, got COVID in there and then fucking died.
Was it now 28,000 people got COVID in fucking hospital? Jesus Christ.
And I mean, they didn't all die, by the way, but if they did die because they got it in hospital, I mean, I suppose it's a COVID death, but it's a kind of self-styled, self-inflicted death, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when are we going to turn around and go, the NHS killed all these people?
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Talking of death, Mike, you know, this is what is worrying me about this, causing me great concern about this ongoing crisis, is we are witnessing the death of Britain, the death of fun, the death of joy, the death of anything to do. You know, they are with alacrity allowing all our pubs and restaurants to die.
Right.
They're allowing all the places that we go to have fun to die. You know, who fucking wants to survive if this is the world we're going to emerge into, where we can't go to the pub, we can't go to restaurants, we can't have fucking fun? Fuck you and your fucking new world, your new fucking normal. Stick it up your fucking asses, you fucking idiots.
This is the thing, right? Because I was saying this today. It's all very well saying, well, it's obvious the lockdown works, right? Well, actually, it's not obvious the lockdown worked, because one, the infection rate started to come down after the peak on January the 12th, which was literally 12 days into the lockdown. So I don't know if that's enough time, to be honest. I accept the fact that it might have helped a little bit, but there's lots of people who have been out and about, including me, including you, mm-hmm. going to the office, going to the supermarket. You know, we can't go very many places, but, you know, there's a lot of people driving around on the streets. London, I'll tell you what, last Friday, it was a lovely sunny day. You would not have known that there was a lockdown going on. I drove out of the sort of east side of the city to get out to the A2, right? Now, you could have told me that that was a normal day in any given year because of the traffic, because of the people on bikes, because of the people walking. Loads of people. I was there in Greenwich, right? People were literally, you know, crowding the streets. That's how many people were out. Now, that, to me, is not a fucking lockdown.
No, exactly. You know, as these lockdowns have gone on, the opposition to them has diminished because we've become so COVID obsessed. And you know, like, I know it's terrible that we get to a situation where more than 1,000 a day are dying, if indeed that is they're all down to COVID. And I know it's terrible that whatever you say about the figures, you know, we've now got way over 100,000 deaths. But let's get, you know, we've lost sense of the perspective. It's still in a country of 67 million people, 100,000 deaths over a year.
Right.
In 67
also,
million people.
When people say you can't compare it to flu,
yeah.
Well, actually you can, but it's actually two flu seasons because it's a whole year. Flu season's usually only 3 months.
Yeah.
And also, I was reading a piece today in The Telegraph that during a period that they measured last year, I think it was through the summer, two-thirds of people who died of non-COVID related stuff, but it was because of the fact that there was a lockdown that they couldn't get treated.
Yeah.
So two-thirds of those who died of COVID died of something else.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? Exactly. So all these figures are certainly dubious, to say the least. But let's give them the credit. Let's just say, it's terrible, 120,000 people have died. That took a year in a population of 67 million. And still, while Van Tam and the gang go on about, we got the bubonic plague, people are falling down in the streets, this is the most terrible health crisis we've ever had. It's nowhere near the fucking most terrible health crisis we've ever had. And it still, be it death or cases, has affected less than 2% of the population. The 98% can go fuck themselves as far as Sage and the government are concerned.
Particularly,
you know, 98% of this population have not even been affected by COVID. We have got this badly out of proportion. And considering all the cases are now plummeting, deaths are plummeting, hospital admissions are plummeting, and they never got overwhelmed, by the way, is time to get the fuck out of this mess.
Right. So let me just recap for those who haven't remembered what happened. Last March, we were told we'd have to lock down the country in order to stop the NHS from being overwhelmed.
It never was.
It never was. We were also told that we'd have to lock down in October, it seems to me. We went into a tiered system to stop the NHS from being overwhelmed.
It never was.
Right.
All of November lockdown.
And then November came and they decided that that would have to be a national lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you went from, if you went into the national lockdown in November in tier one, meaning you weren't in a bad way, you came out of it in tier three, which meant you were worse off. But was the NHS overwhelmed?
The NHS has not been overwhelmed. It always comes to a crisis point this time of year, and this year has been no exception. And I do believe there have been more hospital admissions, and of course COVID has caused terrible problems. But the NHS didn't go past the tipping point.
Right.
That is the point.
Despite all the hysterical warnings that we can't take any more, you know, it's awful. People are crying.
I've got a
question
for you, mate. It's been confusing me. Why is it considered right-wing to be sceptical about lockdowns and left-wing to love lockdowns? Why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a myth that's been created by the left, effectively.
Yeah, I know. Because if you're left-wing, you're a fucking idiot. That's
yes,
it. That's the
it.
Answer.
There you go.
You're a fucking twat.
Also, you're a fucking twat that can work from home.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have to worry about it. You might work in the public sector.
You can write your op-ed pieces to the Guardian.
You know, or you can have lovely time with your family. You know, most people need to get the fuck out and away from them, you know, but that's another story. But so we've had basically an entire year, 12 months, and I'm afraid The next time somebody says to me, we have to do this to stop the NHS from being overwhelmed, I'm going to say, well, it didn't fucking happen last time.
Or the time before that.
Or the fucking time before that.
Overwhelmed this year, twat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unbelievable off. Shit. Anyway, here's another great measure from Hancock. And this is also, if you're planning to go anywhere, I don't know who he's aiming at this at, because you're not allowed to go anywhere at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to go on holiday, here's what you've got to do. Before you go, you've got to go online and buy a package, right? Not for your holiday, but for when you come back. Because you're going to have to quarantine, right? Quarantine for 8 days in a hotel of their choosing, right? £1,750 you've got to pay them. To which I said, does that include a full English breakfast every fucking morning? Because, I mean, I don't know if you have to purchase for the food or what. Can you get deliveries? Can you order in pizza? What the fuck?
You see, there's another reason why everyone is getting really, really sick of this. Because, you know, I talked earlier about we can't go to pubs, we can't go to restaurants, we can't go to the theatre, we can't go to the cinema. In other words, what's been banned is joy. And now you mention holidays. We can't go on fucking holiday.
Right.
You can't really go.
You can't even book a fucking holiday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what? Just the, all of you, fuck off. Give us our fucking lives back. I'm sick of it.
No, I know. And also, right, whenever it does come to the point when you can go on holiday, because, I mean, I'm obviously desperate, as I keep saying, to go and see my mother, go and see my sister, who I haven't seen for over a year now. But I have no idea whether I'll be able to do that and when I'll be able to do that. And if, when I do it, I'm going to have to wear a fucking mask. I'm going to have to get on a plane with a fucking mask on.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have to get a test before I go, test before I come back. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? I don't know.
And that dork Van Tam, you know, that messenger of joy, fucking stands
Jean-Claude
stands up at the latest useless number 10 briefing session, propaganda session, and say, well, if you have booked a holiday for the summer, be prepared to cancel it. Thank you very much, Four Eyes.
Yeah, really. I mean, also this other bloke from
Be
Sage.
Prepared to cancel your fucking job. You wait till I assume total power. You're all against the wall, all of you.
Yeah. I mean, the other one, right, was that guy who said, oh, I think you'll probably have to prepare yourself that there'll be no Glastonbury for at least 5 years.
Oh, well, that's one
now,
good thing.
I mean, I don't really... I do not hold a can of a Glastonbury, as you know, because it's not my kind of thing.
Do I?
And I would never fucking go. I mean,
never
I've been to Glastonbury.
Fucking
I've
horrible.
Never been to the festival. I've been to the town.
I went once, never again.
No,
awful.
I mean, it's full of fucking wankers from West London, isn't it?
Well, it's just full of fucking wankers.
Yeah, with their fucking... What do you call those hunter wellies on?
Yeah, there's only one thing
worse.
No,
let's take some ecstasy. It'd be really cool.
There's only one thing worse than there. There's only one thing worse than a group of human beings get together, and that's a massive group of human beings getting together.
Well, exactly right. And also, I can't imagine how fucking pleasant it is to be in a campsite basically for days on end in the fucking mud, which it inevitably is. I just don't fancy it. However, what I would say is that these wankers from Sage telling us that we can't go and watch a band, or we can't go and see a concert, and we can't go to the theatre, we can't do anything because they tell us we can't. Go fuck yourself,
mate. Yeah, exactly. So this is my plan, is we walk into the Sage offices tomorrow, you know, and we just say, hey, Jonathan, Van Tam, Chris Whitty, Patrick Vallance, Holly's brother, and just say, we're cancelling the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over,
Fuck you.
Go back
it's
to your...
It's cancelled.
Go back to your constituencies.
I tell you, I reckon if we cancelled it tomorrow, everything would be fine.
Well, I mean, I had a doctor on today who said more or less the same.
I heard,
you know, we've got to be careful, of course, and we are a lot more careful. I mean, I said to a guy the other day, he said, well, what do you do different you never used to do? And I said, well, to be honest, I never used to wash my fucking hands when I went home.
Yeah.
I never used to bother. Why would you?
Yeah.
You know, but now I do, right? I now walk a bit further away from people. If I'm in a supermarket, I don't go right up to people. You know, we've all done things now which are different to what we used to do. I also don't really object to wearing a mask in the supermarket. I hate wearing them. I'm certainly not going to wear one outside. And I'm certainly... Have you heard this latest thing from old fucking Sadiq Khan, who reckons that the masks that people are wearing are not good enough on the underground, so you might have to now get one of these filtered ones. You know?
No, get one of those stupid fucking ones that he wears that look like some sort
of
Scottish clan thing.
Well, it's only because he's got such a small head that it makes him look ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he's not bothered by having
a bit of
brain in
there. Did you see Desmond Swain today, by the way? Desmond Swain sitting in fucking Parliament with a huge scarf wrapped around his head, obviously just making a point. Taking the piss.
You mean Britain's best MP?
Yes, absolutely right. The one they tried to silence.
He's a fucking great MP.
He is a great
MP. Credit to Parliament.
Well, he gives a shit about his constituents and
he gives
about
a
those
shit about
people.
The human race.
Well,
as
about
well.
Those people who are sick to fucking death of not being able to do what they want to do and not to be able to make any money. I'll tell you what, today people were really wound up about Mike Tindall, you know, old Zara's husband.
Who's been claiming furlough.
Who's been claiming apparently furlough money, according to the Sun, around about 500 quid a month, they reckon, which doesn't make him richer or poorer since he's already apparently
got one employee.
Well, him, right? Now, he's issued a statement to say that he wasn't the recipient of the money. Well, I don't know who else would be, but I mean, it's a very interesting situation. Well, it's a very interesting story because he supposedly is worth 15 million quid.
Yeah, I don't think there's any suggestion he's done anything illegal.
No, and he's not done anything illegal, no.
You know, if he's got that much money, why does he need to bother the exchequer by claiming 500 quid a month?
Yeah.
Either for himself or for his single employee. God knows what's going on there. But my question is, how does a clapped out old fucking rugby player get to be worth 15 million quid?
Well,
could it be that the secret is marry into the royal family?
Well,
it's works every time, right, Megan?
It's all right for Megan, as you were just about to say before I got to it. Yeah, well, absolutely right. I mean, I imagine his after-dinner speaking fee went up a few quid.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we're going to get some old tosser from the England rugby team from years ago, right? How much do you think we should pay him for an after-dinner speech? Yeah, yeah. I don't know, give him 400 quid.
I'll never forget that scrum
Give him 400 quid.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. He's married to Princess Anne's daughter.
Scrum half puts it out of the fly off.
25 grand.
The wing, you know.
Give him
20. I was there to touch one down. Great speech.
Yeah,
have 15 million quid.
Yeah. Martin Johnson was a bit of a cunt. But apart from that, you know, I've got nothing else for you, you know.
Actually, I wouldn't mind listening to that.
That would be good, actually. But yeah, 20 grand I bet he gets now for an after-dinner speech because he's married to fucking Zara.
Yeah, I know, I know. If you're in trouble financially, folks, this is my advice, Uncle Kev's financial advice for the week. Find some twat in the royal family and get married to them. Yeah, it'll just sort you out for life.
There's not many of them left now to marry, though, are there?
15 million quid for some fucking clapped-out rugby player. How's that happen?
I know. Absolutely extraordinary stuff. But he's not the only one, of course. You remember there was Posh Spice, wasn't there? Victoria Beckham. She furloughed a load of her employees.
Yeah, but to be fair,
at least
her,
that wasn't for her.
Changed her mind.
She gave the money back. Well, I'm betting that Tindall will give the money back.
Yeah.
I'm betting that he will be under a bit of pressure now. Because the last thing the fucking royal family needs right now is another miscreant, another bloke who's going to bring them into disrepute. I mean, it's bad enough that they've got Will's and Harry's feud. They've got Harry and Meghan's departure. They've got Prince Andrew and the dodgy paedophile. You know, I mean, what more do you want?
Well, I was stunned listening to your show this morning when you had the former Sun royal editor,
Charlie Ray. Yeah, I think he's
who backed Tyndall all the way. Said he was not doing anything
apparently
wrong.
He's the only man in Britain, I think, that actually thinks Tyndall's all right.
Yeah, and of course, I used to work with Charlie at the Sun many years ago. And let me tell you, if they'd have put that on his desk and said, write that up for the front page, he would not have morally objected to writing that.
I don't think he would have done. No, I mean, I couldn't quite. I mean, he's quite right when he says that, you know.
Technically, of course he can claim it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
If you're worth 15 fucking million, you shouldn't
know. It's not illegal for him to claim it, but it's not the kind of thing he should be doing.
Steve Coogan did it as
well. Coogan put his housekeeper and his gardener on furlough.
Yeah. Also, Coogan,
really?
Why have you got a housekeeper and a gardener?
Because he's such a lefty.
Why have celebrities got to have housekeepers and gardeners?
I know.
Fucking arsehole.
I mean, I haven't got a housekeeper. I've got somebody who comes and cleans my flat, right? I've also got somebody who comes and cuts the lawn, right? But, I mean, he's not my gardener.
No, exactly, exactly. Why did you cut your own fucking lawn, by the way?
Because I'm too fucking tired. I mean, you've seen the size of my
lawn.
Too
untalented.
Well, also, it's a very uneven, you know, what I haven't got. I might do it, if have you ever been to people's houses where they've got these beautifully manicured lawns, right?
Yeah.
Well, mine isn't like that, you know that.
Yeah, no,
and it's a bit rough around the edges,
outside.
Right? It's lovely, but it's what I would call a wild garden,
yeah,
right? And so it doesn't really lend itself very much to an ordinary lawnmower. In fact, when we first had the house, I used to try and cut it. But, you know, you get one of those hover mowers, which is on a plug, right? You can't, it doesn't even reach the end of the fucking garden for a start.
Yeah.
So you've got to get all sorts of extension leads. And then it would just keep chewing up the blades because it wasn't flat enough. So this guy comes and he's got a ride-on mower. And he does it for us.
Well, that's good.
I think he charges 50 quid or something.
50 quid, okay.
But I mean, he's there for a good couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know, although you have to sort of beg him and ask him nicely to cut anything else. He's quite lazy. Anything other than the fucking lawn, he won't. If you say, look, you mind taking up all those nettles? Every year there's a big nettle fucking invasion.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. He's just very unenthusiastic about
doing
it.
Well, he wouldn't have
any
work to do at my house. I haven't got a fucking garden.
Yeah, but
so.
You've got quite a nice little sort of
rooftop
scenario.
I've got an upstairs
scenario,
terrace and I've got a downstairs.
I've never
patio.
Been up to your rooftop terrace.
Well, you must come in the summer.
Maybe in the summertime.
In the summer.
If we're allowed to mingle.
Yeah, we'll have to socially distance.
Yeah, I'll sit at one end of it. Yeah. In fact, I'll just sit in the street so you wave to me.
What about that, though? I like that plan, Mike. Let's just walk into Sage's office and say, I'll just let you know, lads, the coronavirus crisis is cancelled. It's over.
Just hand them all a red card.
We need, honestly, though, seriously, the whole population, we need this. You know, we're already in danger of getting back to a country that is going to be nothing like the country we used to know.
Well, do you know what's interesting?
How can they have let this happen?
I know. Do you know what's interesting? It's in January, right? People were starting to get fed up, and I was starting to get fed up. I think everybody was, because it was like, Jesus, how much more of this is there? And then as we started to get through January, I started to get a bit optimistic, and I thought, this is actually going to be all right. I think we're going to be able to come out of this. But now we're in this kind of limbo land where I now come in the morning and you're kind of going, there's not really anything happening.
No.
There's not really any news. As a result of which, the papers then pick up on this ludicrous fucking story about the South African variant and how the vaccine might not be effective against it. Guess what? 24 hours later, today they say, oh, it's effective against the South African variant. Who fucking cares?
That's why I think that people are getting to the end of their tether. I mean, whisper it quietly. I know I don't want to undermine or diminish the tragedy of it all, but I do think generally the population is just becoming bored with it.
Yes.
It is churnalism.
But also part
it's
of the
journalism.
Problem.
Same stories going round and round. And close the borders. Vaccine doesn't work. Vaccine rollout program. Hospitals overwhelmed. On and on and on and on. It's just
also,
the same shit going round and round in
circles. My pet hate now is these fucking TV interviewers whose question to anyone is always, how worried should we be about this?
Yeah.
Well, how about not fucking worried?
Yeah. How bored should we be by your question?
Right.
Those number 10 briefing sessions. I mean, does the BBC have any good journalists?
No, of course not.
They're not journalists, are they?
No, they're absolutely
just regurgitators of government policy.
Well, the best one is BBC Scotland yesterday, right? In the midst of the biggest fucking political storm ever, where Alex Salmond and fucking Nicola Sturgeon are literally at each other's throats. Her husband gives evidence to the fucking committee at which he's accused of a criminal offence, right? Do you know what they led with on the BBC in Scotland?
What?
Not that.
Fuck's sake. Well, anyway, fingers crossed Nicola Sturgeon's fucking had it.
They put it after the fucking weather.
I think she's had it. I think she's done.
She's toast.
McToast. You can tell that because she's getting very prickly about it. This is very silly.
Yes,
I'm
looking
forward. It's not silly, darling.
Also, when people
it's your
start
death
saying,
warrant.
And when people start saying, I'm really looking forward to clearing my name, you go, really?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it too, darling. Yeah, you can do it in a prison cell.
Good luck with that.
Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ almighty. Well, anyway, at least it keeps us going for another week.
It does. That was a very calm podcast.
Yes. Well, do you know what? I thought last week we were quite calm, but people said it was the best one ever. I mean, I don't think there was that much swearing last week.
And we weren't quite as het up as we were this. I'm getting more and more
furious. I'm getting more fucked off with it all.
So fucking furious.
I know.
Fuck off, Fantan. Fuck off, Valance. Fuck off, Whitney. Fuck off, Johnson. Fuck off, Hancock. All of you. Just fuck off.
There we are. This is the fucking Thought Police. We'll see you next week.
You know, the ugliest football team ever was that Ipswich team that won the league back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, not the one Alan Brazil was playing for.
Kevin Beattie.
That was the Alan Brazil team.
Fucking
wasn't it?
Hell, they were ugly.
But
they
I mean, you should listen to Brazil talk about those times, you know, where, you know,
Newcastle
they
are really ugly.
Well, do you remember Peter Beardsley?
Yeah, he was hideous. clearly, ugly Steve Bruce is making an ugly team in his own image.
Yes.
This is fucking hideous.
Yeah, but defenders certainly should always be ugly, shouldn't they?
Well, I don't know whether they should be, but they certainly always are.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get...
Why are the attackers always a good lookers?
Well, because they're the ones with the flair. They're the ones with the talent. They're the ones with the goal-scoring potential.
That doesn't necessarily lead on, does it?
Yeah, but it's
to
like...
To be a talented footballer, you have to be good fucking looking.
No, but I mean, it comes back to that, you know, when European players started coming to this country and they were so much more kind of suave and debonair and they spoke really good English.
Better than our players.
And then suddenly they'd get a few studs down the front of the shin from some bloke from Port Vale in the cup.
They become uglier.
And then suddenly they'd go, fuck this for a laugh, they'd go back to Sampdoria.
Go back to Real Madrid.
You know.
Who fucking wants to survive if this is the world we're going to emerge into, where we can't go to the pub, we can't go to restaurants, we can't have fucking fun? Fuck you and your fucking new world, your new fucking normal. Stick it up your fucking asses, you fucking idiots. Fuck off, Fantan. Fuck off, Valance. Fuck off, Whitney. Fuck off, Johnson. Fuck off, Hancock. All of you. Just fuck off. L-E-T-E-F-E-Z.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.